Thank you very much. Good afternoon. There are nine United Nations core human rights treaties, and Taiwan in the past 5 years has ratified five of them, including the CRPD. So with this comes with the opportunity for more engagement for the NGOs to work along with the government. And so this is where it comes from. So there's nothing to disclose. So the outline of my presentation is that the goal of this project is to describe the development of a set of indicators to monitor the government in fulfilling its obligations that is prescribed in the CRPD. So I will be using the framework. I will use it from the human rights indicators that were developed by the UN Office of the High Commissioner for Human Rights. So I will be introducing that for some time, and then I will go to report my methodology, the results and conclusion. So why do we use human rights indicators? The autonomy and dignity and well-being of every person, including person with disability, should be inherent rights. And for most rights, there are corresponding obligations. So what we need to do as NGOs is to monitor whether the government actually deliver these obligations. So government need to be monitored on the progress or the lack of progress that it has been making. And if we can use quantitative monitoring, that would be better, particularly for those rights that require the government to commit resources, because one of the methods that the government can evade from its responsibility is just to say that there's just not enough resources to give to everyone. So for us, both for academic and NGO communities, using the human rights indicator is a way to engage the government. Right, so let me introduce the conceptual framework of the UN human rights indicators. First of all, you need to select a priority list of rights. Which rights do you want to develop the indicators for? For example, the right to work or the right to education, etc. And for each right, we had to identify 4 to 5 attributes. And these attributes are like the subcategories of that right. That actually together reflect the content of the right. And for each attribute, we need to identify structural, process, and outcome indicators that correspond to the government's commitment, its effort, and the results of the effort. So the example is, and we need to use reliable data. And the UN suggest to use the second type of data, the social, economic, and administrative statistics. So there are three types. One is administrative data, and these are data that government collects for administrative purposes. For example, the school enrollment rate, the employment rates. These are not collected specific for human rights purposes, but they are used. They can be used in human rights indicators. And the second type is any kind of surveys. And the third type is censuses. Okay, so the example of, according to the framework, then the example of the right to education will look like this. Okay, there are 4 attributes that are related to the right of education. The first is universal primary education. The second, access to secondary or and higher education, and then the curricula, and then the educational opportunity. And for each of these, you need to find the structural indicators. For example, the Constitution. What does the Constitution say about universal primary education? That's the structural indicator. And the second is process indicator. For example, the proportion of teachers that are fully qualified and trained. That is what the government does, the effort part. And then the outcome part is the proportion of children not attending primary school. This is the outcome, right? So I'm just giving examples of the structural process and outcome indicators. And this is the table that actually look published by the UN. This is the human rights indicators for the right to education. As you can see, there are about 50 numbers that the government has to collect and release to correspond to how the government is doing with regard to the right to education. Okay? So this is the list of the publication called the Guide, the Human Rights Indicator, the Guide to, I can't even remember the name of the book, but in that book, the UN has comprised 14 of the rights. So the UN has established the human rights indicators for these 14 rights. But there are limitations in using these indicators. Number one, how is the indicator related to the rights of people with disabilities? The design of the UN human rights indicators is to use data disaggregation. Okay? So you can compare, for example, the education achievement between the boys and girls and see whether the girls are disadvantaged. Or you compare children with or without disability to see whether children with disabilities are disadvantaged. Okay, so this is data disaggregation. But often disability is not registered in administrative data. Okay, and in many surveys, you don't ask questions about disability. Therefore, depending on data disaggregation, is often difficult or if not impossible. And the second is that the human rights indicators is designed for the general public, and it may not tend to the special concerns of people with disabilities. For example, living independently is not included in other human rights indicators, but it is important for the rights of people with disabilities. And the third is that if you carried out the full panels and arrays of indicators, it may overwhelm the government, particularly the department that is responsible for the affairs of persons with disabilities. And just if you show them this full array of indicators that they need to compile, you will scare them away. Okay, so that is not what you want to do. Therefore, what we wanted to do is to adopt the UN Human Rights Indicators conceptual framework, but develop indicators using CRPD as the framework, as the main reference. And that was specifically serving for a person with disabilities. So what we did was to conduct focus groups and expert workshops. We have three focus groups among persons with disabilities, including physical, hearing, vision, psychiatric, and rare diseases. And we have five workshops on specific issues such as accessibility, political participation, etc. And these were attended by persons with disabilities and NGO workers. And while during these discussions, the whole CRPD articles were provided to them so that they can relate what they talked to with the articles in the CRPD. And the focus has been on how we can monitor governmental obligations. So in these focus groups and workshops, we selected the priority list of rights that we need to develop indicators for. So as essentially we ask, which are the rights that you think are more important that are often violated or often neglected by the government? And it's also aided by the check boxes. We gave them the full rights of covered by the CRPD articles and asked them to select 8 priority rights. And then we need to identify specific aspects of each right for just corresponding to the attributes in the UN human rights indicators. Okay, and then we identify suitable structural process and outcome indicators. Okay, so these are the rights that were selected. So you can see that it included a lot of the rights in the CRPD. And the focus has been on Article 5, Equality and Anti-Discrimination, Article 8, Awareness, and Article 9, Accessibility. These are the three articles that have cross-cutting values in each of the rights that follow. And from Article 14 to 17, most of the participants could not discern clearly what the rights that they were talking about is related to which article. So it's grouped together in the Article 17, integrity of persons, and then Article 19 is living independently, and then the other five was more close to the social economic rights that are also seen with the UN human rights indicators, okay? So then I'm going to present what was talked about by the participants. We have selected some general structural indicators that are not related to any particular article. Number one, the total government budgets on public services for persons with disabilities as percentage of GDP and as percentage of total governmental expenditure. The second is the composition and function of the highest authority on policies regarding persons with disability in central and local governments. Because one of the problems is that this authority needs to deal with interdepartmental coordination, and if it's the level is not high enough, there would be issues that cannot be dealt with because it involves multiple departments. And the third is the amendment of legislation and administrative measures inconsistent with the provisions of CRPD. If there are laws that are not consistent with CRPD, they need to be amended. So this indicator monitors whether that has taken place. And the fourth is legislation and guidelines on reasonable adjustment. There is no laws on reasonable adjustment, or sometimes called reasonable accommodation, in Taiwan. So we're interested in monitoring whether that law comes into existence. Okay, and let me give you three examples of the individual rights indicators. The first is equality and anti-discrimination. According to the UN Human Rights Indicator, the discrimination, this idea has four attributes. One is equality before the law. The second is discrimination affecting the access to an adequate standard of living, health, and education. And the third is discrimination affecting the equality of livelihood opportunities. And the fourth is measures taken to reduce discrimination. So with CRPD, we also use the four attributes, and then we need to identify the structural process and outcome indicators. So, for example, in the equality before the law, the process indicator include the proportion of victim of discrimination provided with legal aid. And the second is reasonable accommodation in the legal process. And for the outcome indicator, the first one is person with disabilities' ability to handle information in the judicial system, such as those with hearing disabilities are provided with proper sign language, for example. And the second is the recognition of person with disabilities' legal capacities, such as their ability to open an account in banks, to have loans, and to have to be married on their own will. So these items are raised by the participants, and I can imagine that these would be different. It has very strong local contexture factors, so I can imagine that each place would be seeing different kinds of indicators that's being developed. And the second is accessibility. For the accessibility, we have three attributes. One is the mobility and transportation. The second is building and facilities. And the third is communication. These are all related to accessibility. So the structural indicators would all relate to the regulations on the road and transportation, or the regulation on buildings and facilities. And I just read some of them. For example, in the building and facilities part, the process indicator is regarding the licensing procedure, whether the persons with disabilities are involved in the licensing procedures for giving the permit to say that this is accessible, because oftentimes when the government issues a license, the person with the ability find it very difficult to use. So they think that we should involve person with disabilities. And the second is response to complaints, whether they can fix things upon complaints. And for outcome indicators, it's like public buildings with wheelchair accessibility, public buildings with accessible toilets, and access to ATM machines, because oftentimes the building is accessible, but the machine you just cannot reach. So these, again, are the things that are raised by the participants. Integrity of the person is being categorized into home, community, hospital and institutions, and detention centers and prisons. Okay, so for these, we have also developed indicators. So the point here is not to read to you all of them, but to show you the structure and to indicate that these can be developed locally. And although with the UN concept, the obligation is held at the country level, right? But I see no reason why this cannot be used at a state or even a local governmental level. Okay, so the discussion. There is a trade-off that we need to decide whether to have a large number of indicators so that we can cover all types of disabilities and comprehensive coverage of all kinds of rights, versus a smaller number of indicators that are more indicative of the government's commitments and it's more manageable. So we need to decide a proper number of indicators that we want to include in the indicator. And then the second, the availability of data could be a problem. For example, probably we need the government to investigate into illegal practices. The number of coerced sterilization and abortion is not collected regularly by the government. So we need, if we include that in the indicator, then we are asking for the government to provide, to collect and provide this kind of data. And some are very difficult to compile, such as the treatment of persons with disabilities within institutions. That can be very difficult to monitor, but again, we are using this as a tool to ask the government to do the monitoring. And the validity of this indicator, we can say that it can be done in two ways. From the process, what we can do is to have better inclusion and the scale of participants, and finally the government involvement. This is intended to be a official and binding set of indicators that the government has to follow and report regularly. So you cannot avoid a very heavy involvement with the government, so that they would be willing to take this up and use that as a guideline of their reporting. Okay, and the second way to validify is to do comparison, and it although our indicator was developed independently with the Danish gold indicators, but it turned out that we have chosen exactly the same title of the articles, the same 10 articles. So I think these can be, and there can be an overlapping and high level of similarity in the concerns of persons with disabilities in different countries. Okay, so the next steps in policy advocacy is that the usefulness of the human rights indicator depends partly on the or heavily on the country's willingness to comply with international human rights standards. And this is, I heard from these 2 days, particularly problematic for the US government. But I think this can be applied, again, on different levels of government. And we need to persuade the government to adopt the CRPD indicators as official and binding, and then we need to persuade the government to collect and analyze the data as prescribed by the CRPD indicators. Okay, thank you.